A Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Thursday evening. Running a little bit later today, had some things going on that kind of basically took a little bit longer than anticipated. So busy day, and I guess that's a good thing to have busy days. Idle hands are devil's workshop, as they say. But would like to give a shout out to Aunt Shelby. Miss Shelby Hamilton, today is her birthday. So we got to celebrate her as she has continued to age in wisdom, as we would say, with some white hair that comes along the way. But no, love you, Aunt Shelby. Hope your birthday has been well. I think you got a big birthday celebration Saturday for her. So, excuse me. Look forward to that. It's hard to believe that the week has just kind of went by faster. You know, it seems as though when you grow in age, and I'm speaking for myself now, is that things progress quickly, I suppose. But yeah, so Thursday and tomorrow's Friday, Lord willing, we'll get to see that day, and then we go into the weekend. But I think that it's one of those things to where we would look at just time in general, and again, how the days quickly pass by. I'm going to break away for just a brief moment from 1 Corinthians. Part of it is because of just time, but also I was wanting to read something in reference just because of how Paul is speaking towards the church in 1 Corinthians. And I think it's important for us to kind of look at church and what that means for us as a body of believers and how we interact with those people. And so therefore, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen while we function and do as we live. And there's a book that was written that has some good insight that I think would be beneficial if you have time to read. It's called Rediscover Church: Why the Body of Christ is Essential. And of course, it's written by Colin Hanson and Jonathan Lehman. And so there's a lot of things that I think are beneficial in this book. And I was wanting to just read a little bit here and share some thoughts as far as what's available for us to look at. So here we go. And this is starting on page 105. It says, the reason we need to rediscover the church as a fellowship of difference is because we too easily fall into the world's ideas about community. The world gives us two options. One perspective asks us to celebrate diversity by prioritizing differences in ethnicity, nationality, gender, and increasingly, sexual orientation. This perspective trains us to feel right and good when these various identities are included in our community. A room full of faces of the same color feels wrong, even immoral. The second perspective asks us to celebrate uniformity. In much of the world, you can't, or at least aren't supposed to mix different ethnicities. You might live in a remote territory with only one economic class or ethnicity, or in a country that practices a caste system that separates people before they're born with no possibility of changing positions, or in a political system that demands obedience to the state in all things, including religion. Uniformity is considered the highest value, a room where people disagree with each other over politics or their view of the world feels wrong, even immoral. At first, these two perspectives, diversity, uniformity, might appear to be pushing in opposite directions, but these differences obscure the underlying similarities. Both perspectives create community through exclusion. It's more obvious in the uniformity perspective. If you put out the wrong yard sign, don't go to the right church, or associate with people from the wrong caste, you're excluded from the community. The same thing happens, though, in the push toward diversity. Only a certain kind of diversity is allowed. You can be from a different ethnicity, but you cannot disagree on sexual ethics. You can be proud to come from another country, but you cannot support the wrong political party. You can be celebrated for your gender, but not for insisting on biological differences between the genders. Whatever their pretenses, both perspectives create community through exclusion. They're like fraternities or sororities, which build community by creating an exclusive club. You can enter only by permission. The same goes for a country club or a neighborhood that filters out undesirable elements by income level, or for a protest march that brooks no protest from within, or for an academic program that snuffs out free inquiry or ideological dissent. You're in because others are out. How to get noticed by the world. Our churches sometimes take on this posture, whether by prizing uniformity or diversity, because this is what we know about community. We don't know how to have a church where people can disagree about politics because we try not to associate with anyone who makes us uncomfortable. We don't know how to build a multi-ethnic church because we don't live multi-ethnic lives. We don't know how to include different economic classes because they can't be found in our neighborhoods. We don't know how to prioritize our shared unity in Christ because we're accustomed to observing our physical differences. When a church follows these patterns of the world, it does not get noticed by the world. Why? Because the members don't need the church for this kind of community. You can join a protest march or political party if you want shared ideological zeal. You can join a sports team or a gaming community if you need friends to pass the time. You can join the old timers at the cafe down the street if you want to gripe about the weather and your aches and pains. The church that gets noticed by the world brings together people who don't normally associate: the tax collectors and zealots, the sinners and Pharisees. That's what made the early church so strange, that some said it had turned the world upside down in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. In the ancient world, religion was tied up with other identities, especially people's politics and ethnicities or tribes. When they went to war, they fought against people with different local gods and different rulers. The Romans conquered smaller groups like this all over the known world. The Jews were strange to them and insisting on one God instead of many. But they didn't stop the temple worship of this God until the Jews revolted against Rome's political authority. The Christians were different. They worshiped this same God, but they also worshiped a man, Jesus, who claimed to be God. Strangely, the Christians also insisted that he was not some local teacher or political revolutionary, but the Lord of the universe. And while Jesus submitted to local authorities, he also claimed that they had no authority except what he had granted to them. No one had ever seen or heard anything like it. Christianity, then, was uniquely appealing to people across the Roman Empire because Jesus brought together the people who didn't normally associate: slaves and free people, poor and wealthy, Jews and Gentiles. This unified diversity also made Christianity uniquely threatening to the political powers in Rome, who rightly saw their authority subverted by the values of a higher kingdom. This kind of community, this fellowship of different united by Christ alone, is what we need to rediscover in the church. And it's the kind of community that gets noticed by the world. It's the kind of community that threatens the world's status quo. This community is built upon common love and belief in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul argued with the Ephesians, he says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1-6, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to you, call one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." No pandemic, election, or viral video can threaten this kind of unity. When controversy hits, this church community draws closer together in love, empathy, and trust. Its members are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, withstanding division. At the same time, this community can withstand worldly divisions because its members value and respect their differences. The Apostle Paul labored to correct the church in Corinth as it struggled to find unity amid difference. The church's divisions inspired his famous teaching about love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Their divisions also drew out his clearest teaching on the body of Christ. He used this metaphor to explain how the church needs all of its members working together in the body. The foot doesn't look down on the hand. The ear isn't jealous of the eye because you need to hear as much as you need to see. Anyone can relate to the experience of how much pain and discomfort can come from a body part, but you didn't think much about it. That's why Paul said, "We can never take for granted the so-called lesser parts of the body." God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24 through 26. More durable church. The body is a fellowship of difference. We are not alike, and we need each other. We have not been gifted the same way, and that's how God intended it for our good. We confess the same belief in Jesus Christ, but we enjoy a diversity of experiences. This is God's vision for the church that we must rediscover. This model does not offer the fastest way to build the largest church, but it's the most durable way to build a healthy church. If you want to build a large church quickly, your center on the pastor's unique personality and teaching instead of the various gifts God has given to every member of the body. You also select music that appeals to your preferred age, class, and ethnic demographic. For example, white 20-something professionals with disposable income and abundant time and need for community. It's not that such churches are wrong and sinful. In fact, many, if not most churches in world history generally pulled from the same kinds of people with the same kinds of interest. In some cases, as with ethnic minorities in the United States, they built separate churches because they were excluded from established churches, either because of racism or simple language barriers. Indeed, God seems to employ many different kinds of churches together in order to reach the same community with the good news about Jesus. But the example of Jesus' disciples and the early churches led by Paul suggests something we need to rediscover today. Politics and pandemic have stressed many congregations past the breaking point. It might seem easier to look for a church where everyone thinks, votes, and sins the same way you do. It's better for your spiritual growth. However, to hunker down in a fellowship of difference, to honor people whose abilities differ from yours, to hope all things in love, to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, to respect the zealot or tax collector sitting next to you. You want to find a church that grabs this world's attention. Find a church that looks like the world to come. And as we consider that thought, I think it's very important for us to be reminded of the truth of what the hope and assurance that we have in Christ and how that's demonstrated in our church. One day, might be tomorrow, might be a year from now, it might be 20 years from now, but one day we shall pass. One day we'll be with our eternal home forevermore. And however it is that we all maybe envision heaven, I know there's a lot of differences. There's nothing specific that we know as far as a blueprint and how that lays out. But I do believe that while we're here on this earth, our churches should reflect an eternal home to come. And I've always said this as well. You know, it's something to see the differences of people. I think that's the beauty of how God's design is that we're all created in our own special way that God made us. And that's beautiful. So as we work together, as we labor for the glory of God, may we be reminded, and may our churches represent well as the time that we have on this earth. The Boundless Reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.